Turn with me now again to Psalm 99. We'll be reading responsively in our New King James Bibles. We continue in this series that celebrates Jesus' kingship, his royal rule, and his royal majesty. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. As I mentioned, we continue in this series that is speaking of Christ's sovereignty, his royal rule, his royal excellence, his royal majesty. And really, in a lot of ways, it appears to me anyway that this is the end of this block here that we began looking at back in Psalm 93. We see here the reign with the rule of Jehovah. But we see in another place in the Psalms, particularly what person of the Godhead it is who rules in Zion. We saw that back in Psalm 2. The Lord has set his Messiah, his anointed one, or as it is in the Septuagint translation, the Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures, his Christ. It is God's Christ who sits upon the throne in Zion and over the nations. That is much of the message, though by no means all, here in Psalm 99. This one who is coming again, such as we saw last week in Psalm 98, and a few weeks before that in Psalm 96, is not merely a coming king, as fellow believers of ours would think, who don't understand the scriptures quite all the way they should. He is not merely a coming king, though he certainly is a coming king, the coming king. But he reigneth even now. He ruleth over all things. Even as Paul tells us, the very end of chapter 1 of Ephesians, he is ruling now for the sake of, with an eye to the blessing of, his church, his beloved. Now, this psalm breaks out pretty easily into two parts, verses 1 through 5 and verses 6 through 9, and they celebrate this royal rule, this royal majesty that is characterized by a particular attribute. That is one that we looked at back when we were in Isaiah 6 in our worship, in our expository series in Isaiah. When Isaiah was in the temple, when God made his call upon him, he saw those burning angels, those high ones, who were flying and who were about the throne of Jehovah. And you will remember, Isaiah saw him upon the throne, high and lifted up. And what were the burning ones, the seraphim calling? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the earth is full of his glory. Well, here we have that same thing here. Holy, verse 3. Holy, verse 5. Holy, verse 9. This is the holy God. The one who is apart from his creation. though he maintains his creation moment by moment. Yet he is and remains the creator apart from his creation. He is transcendent from his creation. He is holy. He is set apart not only from his creation, but he is apart from sin that man introduced from Adam's fall. Perhaps had there been no fall of man, perhaps had there been no fall of angels, we would never understand or see the character, the characteristic, the attribute of God that we have named here in verse 4, the God of justice. But justice goes along with holiness when there is sin, when there is impurity, when there is pollution, when there is profaning. But at the same time, we see that this one is a God who forgives. Now, this seems very strange. Very strange. Quite contradictory. How can the holy God, how can the one who is transcendent from all his creation and who abhors sin and loves justice, how can he be one who forgives sin? Because as we have been seeing also in Isaiah, this time in chapter 7, the one who reigns, the one who rules in Zion's hill, is called Immanuel, God with us. He is transcendent, and at the same time, he is with us, what we call immanent. He is with us. He has come, taken to himself an entire human person, lived a perfect life in the place of his people, died an atoning death in the place of his people, rose victorious for the sake of his people, to save them, to deliver them, and to bring about forgiveness of sin. Well, it is no wonder then that the psalmist is transported, really, with joy, with adoration, with gladness, because this God is one whom, as Paul says, is able to be both just and the justifier of those who are in Jesus, as we see in Romans 3, verse 26, that quotes it very often. Just and justifier, holy and forgiving, all in the God-man, the Messiah, the Christ of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. All these meet together, as we sometimes sing in Psalm 85. All these meet together, and what do they provoke from us? Why, they provoke exaltation, I trust, and worship, or at least these things should. Let us sing to God's praise then. Let us sing to our Jesus' praise using Psalm 99. We'll be using version C, which has the entirety of this psalm together. Psalm 99, C.